Welcome to Career Tools. Our guidance on your resume in 2016. Here we go. Folks, this podcast answers the questions, how should my resume be changing for 2016? What's currently important on resumes? Should I and how do I change my resume to get past an applicant tracking system? Folks, you don't need to pay someone else to create your resume. If you pay someone else to create your resume, they will spend as much time asking you questions, requiring you to answer them, as you would creating it yourself with your own knowledge of your own background for a lot more money than our resume workbook, which tells you exactly how to do it for only $30. Page after page after page, over 50 pages, explaining in detail exactly how to handle every single line on your resume, why it's structured the way it is, what words to use, how to separate bullets from paragraphs, how to space things, what font to use, everything in enormous detail, because this is Career Tools, this is Manager Tools, and we know you want specifics. Okay, Wendy, our annual guidance on resumes, in light of the fact that those of us who have been around for a while are still in the workplace, probably not thinking about a resume, but new people are joining the workforce. People are thinking about changing jobs, and maybe it's been 10 years, and they go online and they read some really stupid guidance about video or My Little Pony resumes or what have, which is actually real.
I've forgotten that one.
Yes, classic. As we've said many, many times, our resume guidance is timeless. It hasn't changed. One page, reverse chronological, description of the role that you're in prose, 2 to 3 sentences, and then bulleted accomplishments. But the market changes, technology about delivering resumes changes, and things become more and less important. So we like to update things and make people understand that if you're young and you're listening and you say, wow, their resume guidance is 11 years old, it's dated. It's actually not. But we want you to know that we're thinking of you, and you may want to take advantage of some of the new things that exist in the resume market, which would, as a general rule, be a bad idea. But anyway, so Wendy, what's our guidance?
So we have four parts to our cast. It's a candidate market for the first time in forever, it feels like.
You think? Wow, very interesting.
Definitely.
Okay.
Referrals always matter.
Always, 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 yeah.
Nobody reads anymore, apparently. And applicant tracking systems are in or out, depending on who you read. So these things kind of refer to the trends that we've seen. And so each section is in two sections itself, the trend and then what that means for your resume. So
you're saying the trend is it shifted from a buyer's market, from a firm, from a corporate market to a candidate market. That's the trend.
Yes. If you look at I did some research, obviously, and looked at the economic figures. I mean, just as I was writing this, the Apple figures for the last quarter came out. And, you know, there was all these inches of column, like, Apple's not doing so well, and the watch isn't doing so well, and, you know, it was the first time they'd sold less than the last quarter and all sorts of things. But they actually sold $50 billion worth of stuff in 12 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, even if you think, you know, it's gone down from 54, still, people spent $50 billion in 12 weeks. It's amazing. And it's not even the company with the highest revenue in the world. No, it's 12th.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're spending a lot of money.
I would argue that regardless of how well or poorly they may or may not have done and how the news tends to overreact to things about a few companies' earnings reports, they're still hiring.
Oh, yeah. If you think about that, the amount that we have been spending, it tells us two things. First of all, if you read the news, if you look at the headlines, they're still negative. They're still saying we're going into recession, the recession's still here, you know, all these people are suffering. But actually, there's a lot of good news in the economy, tons of good news. And, you know, newspaper people say if it bleeds, it leads. You know, they like bad news. It sells. Fear sells. So don't believe everything you read. And the other thing is that we spend $234 billion in 12 weeks on purely discretionary goods. Nobody needs an iPhone when you can just go into Walmart and buy one, an ordinary phone for like $10. Nobody needs to spend, I don't know how much they are, $300, $400 on a phone. And yet that money is floating around the economy, that people feel good enough about their economic situation that they're able to spend that money.
Yeah.
And unemployment is down to 5%.
That's in the US, right?
Yeah. In the US, right. It's a little bit higher in Europe and Australia, but if you look at the trend, it's downward in those places. And turnover is up at 2006 levels, so way before the big recession. So that means people are leaving their jobs and people are getting new jobs. And the higher the turnover, the bigger the likelihood that you can get a new job.
Right.
You know? And that's a kind of self-fulfilling prophecy. And the one that recruiters really look for is time to fill.
Yeah, I'm interested in your take on time to fill. I've talked to somebody recently about it, actually, in Silicon Valley. So explain time to fill to people. Because, by the way, folks, she's right. It's something recruiters look at. And then I'll share my point of view on it.
So basically, time to fill is a measure of how long it takes you from knowing that you have a vacancy to having someone in the role. It can be calculated differently. Some people don't count the beginning of it until they've advertised or they've started interviewing. Some people don't count, they don't wait until the person's actually in the chair once they've got an offer accepted. So you have to be a little bit careful about what you're looking at and make sure you're comparing apples to apples. But that the length of time it takes to find the right person depends on how many people are available in the marketplace. And the higher the unemployment rate, the more people are available. So as unemployment goes down, there's less people available and the time to fill gets longer. And that's what we've been seeing.
Yeah, the time to fill is going up and recruiters are saying, yeah, it's, and the way they say it is that means it's harder to get people, which means candidates have more options and they're willing to wait and so on. It has been my experience, however, that time to fill is something when I talk to recruiters, I think a lot of them simply glom onto it as the metric. In this particular case, I agree with it, but I'm often disagreeing with it. And the reason why is time to fill can also go up in a really, really hot buyer's market. Time to fill went way up during the recession. And the reason why is companies weren't hiring. They had open slots, but they're saying, no, it's so hard for me to get an open requisition. I'm going to put a very high standard on it. And in the same way that companies adjust what their, quote, requirements, unquote, are for jobs, depending upon the market. I think it is a proxy for the market. I think it's generally helpful. I think most people who are listening now would probably not, you'd almost have to Google for it in order to find it. And I think it would be easy for a lot of people to miss that it can be at times misleading. At present time, I agree, it is going up. And I think you have to look at, understand the trend rather than just hearing one person saying, oh yeah, it's going up, because a lot of recruiters have three or four clients.
If you're a bad recruiter,
yeah,
it's high,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
You can't take it as that single piece. You got to take it as, you know, as part of a whole.
But the basic bottom line is what we're saying is right now in the marketplace, not that your particular search will be the market. We're saying power has shifted slightly toward candidates. It's always, power is always fundamentally centered on the company, guys. They have the job. You want it. The purpose of interviewing is to say no. However, let's assume that the norm is they have 95% of the power. Maybe now they only have 85%. But to them, that means they're a little bit more open, they're a little bit more willing. And if you were wondering what the market is like, we're telling you the market is generally in favor of you more than the norm. And the norm is generally, sorry, like it or not, not in favor of you.
And there's a lot of recruiters who started in the last, you know, 10 years and who haven't really been in hot markets. If you have a recruiter who's only been in that job for 5 years or something, you may not get the best service, which is one thing.
Yeah.
So What this means for your resume is it's way easier for you to stand out, even though there's more resumes in the market, because when recruiters get not desperate, they're not desperate yet, but when they don't have as much choice as they used to, they take a wider range of resumes. So basically they lower their standards. So if a hiring manager is given a bunch of resumes and, you know, 10 of them are really low standard and yours is there and yours is the 11th and yours is of a really high standard and you've quantified your accomplishments and all that stuff, then your resume is going to stand out way heads and shoulders above all of the rest. And if you've been listening to our guidance, even if you haven't done a resume in 5 years because you haven't moved, if you've been keeping up with your career management document, you'll have a lot of accomplishments and you'll have the documentation that you need to do a great resume. And a lot of people, even though the market is coming around to having similar guidance to us around accomplishments, a lot of people haven't done that before and they won't have the data.
I think a top 10 fundamental tripping point, stumbling point for candidates in a market is when the market gets warm, people who were on the bubble, couldn't decide, but weren't in the market, suddenly get in the market. The way they get in the market is either they decide to, which is the right way to do it, or they get a call. And now they have to have a resume put together. And my point here, guys, is get your resume together now. Go back and listen to our original podcast. I don't know if we've ever changed the title. It's one of the few titles, Wendy, that we attempted to have some marketing knowledge by saying your resume stinks. Because, folks, it probably does. And just based on sheer volume that Wendy and I see on a regular basis. But we also recommend something called a career management document, which is essentially a long-form version of your resume with all of your accomplishments, detailed description of each job you've had, and all of your accomplishments. And it's grammatically correct. It's correct in all ways. And then you pare that down to send out a resume that allows you to target different companies based on different accomplishments and highlighting different parts of different jobs. And we recommend you sit down once a quarter for half an hour at the end of a day and update your career management document with the information that is current in the last 90 days. Heck, you just go through your email and find the things that you've been working on that you think could qualify as an accomplishment. I got to tell you, if I ask somebody for a resume and it takes a week, I immediately assume whether you like it or not, since I'm the one in power, whether you like it or not, I assume you weren't ready. Okay, so strike one. Two, if I get it after a week and it's got errors, strikes two and three. On the other hand, if I ask for somebody's resume and I get it right away and there are no errors, it's like home run. Often these processes are death of a thousand cuts kind of thing, but you've just survived a number of cuts that a number of people don't. I would argue that well over half of the resumes I get have errors on them. And for those of you who are listening and saying, well, we really don't need resumes, and, you know, yeah, not so much, guys. I'm going to ask for a resume. Why? Because I don't want to have to listen to you talk to me for half an hour about all the things you've done. I don't. Why? Because I have the power and I don't have to. And if you say to me, well, you know, I really want to get to know you. Yes, but I don't want to spend the time to get to know you if I'm not going to hire you because I don't have time to spend enough time with my family and get all my work done. So therefore, we're going to condense your life down to one page. You may not like it, but as Churchill said about democracy, it's the second worst form of government and all the others are tied for last. Resumes aren't great, but they're the system we use. Okay. You said referrals always matter.
Yes. So referrals have always mattered until maybe 30, maybe 40 years ago. A referral was how you got a job. From right at the beginning when the Industrial Revolution started and people started having real jobs as opposed to being apprenticed to the baker or the candlestick maker or whatever, when factories started, the way you got a job was you knew someone in the factory and you vouched for them to the supervisor and they came in and did a day and got fired if they weren't any good. But that's how you got a job. And it's only really in the last, I guess, 30 years because of the internet and technology and all that stuff that people have really said, we'll just have a CV, we'll just have an interview, we're not going to take any notice of what anybody else says about this person. We don't need an introduction. And yet, Referrals are really good news for companies. They cost very little. Often referral programs are incentivized. So the company will give the person who, their employee who refers somebody else, $500, $800. It depends how scarce the resource is or scarce the skills are. But the fact that they give money tells you that they're saving money somewhere else. And they definitely are. It's usually faster. Because that they know that the person's really interested in working for the company. You just get through the hoops more quickly. And somebody who, your employee, who you already know knows the company really well, has already talked to that person that they're referring. So if there wasn't an 80% chance of a fit, that person wouldn't be referring the other person. You know, so you know that the candidate probably will fit your company and that they know the pros and cons of your company before they even come in. The one people hold up as the best company for referrals is Cisco.
Yeah.
Cisco. I just stuttered that. That was weird. Some sources say that they make up to 50% of their new hires via referrals, which is massive.
Yes. Oh, what a simplification, enormous simplification, order of magnitude simplification on their entire hiring and recruiting process to have it at 50% as opposed to 10%.
Yeah. They had this program a while ago that was called Make Friends at Cisco. So if you didn't have someone to refer you in, you could find a friend, like they would match you up with someone and then you could talk to them and then that person would refer you.
It's like, wow.
It's that good. Yeah. It's that good for them, right?
Okay, but what does all this mean for a resume?
It means that your resume has to stand alone. If somebody is passing on your resume as opposed to you sending a person directly an email with the resume attached and you write the email so that it looks like a cover letter and it has all the information that you want to position your resume, if that's not there, then you don't know how your resume is going to be presented. You don't know what other information that person's going to give. If you assume that the resume is just going to be given to someone and that person's going to say, hey, this was a referral, then you have to have all the information on your resume that tells the person, that tells the hiring manager not only what you can do and how well you can do it and what do we say? Persuasively truthful? No, the other way around, right? Truthfully persuasive.
No, persuasively truthful.
Oh, I got it right first time. About your skills and your ability to fit in there.
Yeah. And look, obviously, you don't give a resume to a friend who is going to refer you and give him anything less than the highest standard of something, because there are people who you hear talk about their company and they don't refer you, not because they don't think you could do it, but because the standard they apply is higher than what you want them to apply, because if you don't make it, they worry that they will be dinged. Hey, why don't you interview my buddy? And then they don't hire you, and they say, yeah, he didn't work out. And that is now associated with your buddy, which is dumb, but it's true. And so therefore, you have to meet a higher standard. It's got to be tailored. And you got to get contact information right, email address. Yeah, you cannot assume that because you're getting a referral, there will be a different standard to your resume. Okay? Next, nobody reads anymore.
Yes, apparently nobody reads anymore. So this was a quote I found from a career expert in Joey Coates. Nobody really reads full sentences anymore. They skim over and look for keywords and main points. Build your resume with this in mind. Draw the eye's attention to your key accomplishments and use bullets, bold, and other visual elements that stand out. And that's first, rubbish.
Rubbish. Just in case. Usually when we quote experts, and by the way, for those of you who are licensees, you can download the show notes, and the word expert has quotes around it. The number of experts that you can read on the internet, and dividing that number, assume that number is 100, the number of people who are actually expert is 1. And nobody really reads full sentences anymore? Are you kidding? No, I'm sorry. Yes, they do. And yeah, we want key accomplishments and bullets, but visual elements, boy, that's just a recipe for disaster. Yeah, so sorry, go ahead.
I found some quotes about attention span as well.
Well, yeah, but okay. But we don't need to quote a bunch of people to tell them, yeah, people's attention spans are getting shorter. And I think somebody, I think a famous author, I can't remember who, wrote in the Atlantic magazine a couple of years ago, the internet is making us stupid, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because we're learning how to skim. So great. But that's been true for a long time, right?
Yeah. And it's not, and of course, it's not true. Because yeah. we're buying more books than ever. We can yeah. all binge on Netflix. You know, our attention span is exactly the same. And people have been worried about it for 200 years, not in the last 20. If you take that advice and you put callouts and color and graphs and quotes and images and different fonts on your resume, some resumes I've seen have all of those, the reader has no idea where to look. There's no flow. It's like going into a store and there's sale items and there's like red letter items and there's coats mixed with trousers and you don't know where to look and you can't find the thing you want. It's exactly the same on a resume. The reason a resume is reverse chronological and has the job titles and the responsibilities and the accomplishments is because it guides the reader through the things they want to know.
Yeah. And look, if you put too much stuff in it, your resume will not scan well if there's an applicant tracking system in place. And guys, this is so easy. What this means for your resume is the only metadata your resume needs, and the way to think about metadata is if I stand 20 feet from you and hold up a document so that you can't read the words in it, I should be able to tell that that document is a resume. All of you who are listening know roughly what that would look like if I'm standing 20 feet from you. That's metadata. It's data about the data. You know that that document is a resume. That's the format. It has been that way for a long, long time. Don't get me started about what used to be before resumes. You may not like resumes, but what happened before was really bad, which is why you never put references on a resume. But there needs to be a clear structure, and the structure is what we recommend. The structure is not what we recommend because we recommend it. We recommend it because we know hundreds of recruiters. Wendy and I have both recruited. We've both looked at tens of thousands of resumes. I promise you, if you do anything unusual, you have just doubled the standard that I'm going to apply. Mm-hmm. Because you think you're the one guy who the rules don't apply to. And if you're going to work at a small company, fine. With five people, fine. And particularly if you have a referral there. But if you're going to a larger company, and frankly, at some point, those small companies will start doing it the way larger companies do, because that's how you get to be larger. If you're going to a larger company, they have no desire for that. None. You're going to stand out and be yourself and be unique and be creative in the interview. And the purpose of your resume is to get an interview, and you're not creative enough. No offense. You're not creative enough to be so different from the metadata that recruiters like us want that you can actually have your creativity be a plus. Okay, so let's talk about applicant tracking systems. You say there are different stories. I would simply argue, Wendy, that they were hot for a while in the news when they were being installed because the companies that sold them would put out press releases saying another company used our stuff and so on. And so people don't talk about them. In my experience, they're being used less, in part because when the market starts to heat up, if a recruiter gets an open requisition or something, he or she wants to move quickly. And if you get your resume in front of the right person, that person is not going to say, well, we have to put this through a tracking system. They're not. Particularly if you're a senior manager, right? Oh, yeah. If you're doing a blind application to a company, sure, they will. But frankly, when you put ATSs together with referrals, like, yeah, if I have a referral, I'm probably not going to have to worry about the applicant tracking system.
Yeah, you just bash in like the details that allow you to make the offer, and that's enough. So yeah, it depends on who you read. Some people are saying, yeah, ATSs are growing, more companies are getting them, more of the whole process is being put into ATSs. Other people are saying, like you, when candidates are shorter and recruiters want to make hiring faster, the ATS kind of goes out the window. And it always did in my case. I was like, oh, yes, system? No. But it doesn't really matter whether you think your resume is going to go into an ATS or not, because if you follow our guidance on a resume, then it'll be fine in an ATS and it will be fine on a recruiter's desk. So keeping the format simple, not using anything other than bold and underline and the very simplest of bullets. Because if you use anything, if you use a star or a little tilde to make a line or anything that's not the very most basic thing, it looks rubbish when it goes into the ATS because they strip it all out of the Word document. And then you need to include the industry and role-specific words. So if you're a project manager, it needs to say budget, on time, on scope. It needs to have those kind of words in it so that if somebody is searching an ATS, that your resume comes up. But again, if you write your resume thinking about what the hiring manager needs and tailor it to the opportunity, those words should end up in your resume anyway.
If you're trying to tailor it, then either you can or cannot. If you try to tailor it and it doesn't get through, assuming your formatting is neutral, then you're probably not right for the job. Whether you think you're right for it or not, that's the whole, the crux of these problems. You know you can do the job, but the company's process, as clumsy as it is, says you can't. And this is why we say they have 95% of the power. Or 85% yeah. Right now.
And I think all the advice that says, oh, you must have lots of keywords in your resume, assumes that the ATS spits out, you know, the top two people, and it doesn't. You go through hundreds of resumes, even with the ATS, to find the right people. So if you've got words which are relevant in your resume, which you should have if you've tailored it, you shouldn't have any problem.
And for those of you who don't want to go back and listen to our guidance about reverse chronological, there's a lot of reverse chronological resumes that then say, and at the top you need, what are you, a summary paragraph? Is that what they call them?
Summary, yeah. Summaries are more popular now than objectives.
Yeah, well, objectives are crazy.
But they're the same, exactly the same thing.
Well, no, summary might have all kinds of words like focused team player who's a dynamic leader, an exceptional communicator, all of which is complete rubbish. I mean, we ignore it completely because it's not like you're going to say, just looking for a job. We already have your life distilled down to one page. You're not then going to distill it down to one paragraph and be able to be truthful. You simply can't do it. And you're trying to sell us. And we don't want to be sold on a resume. We want to be told, and then we want to come to the conclusion you'd be right for us. Because again, that's us asserting our power in the situation.
Yeah. And the final thing is check again for spelling mistakes. Spelling mistakes drive recruiters crazy anyway, because it's a really quick way to say no to someone based on their ability to create a document, check it, spell it right. You know, if you can't do that, then that's like the basis of communication. But also, if you've got a wrong spelling somewhere, if you spelt manager without one of the A's, which is a really common spelling mistake, when somebody searches the ATS for project manager, your resume won't come up because you haven't got the word manager on there. So that, but spelling is fundamental anyway.
Good. So bottom line, resumes haven't changed in a long, long time. They're not going to change now. Some of the trends are worth knowing about, but they won't change your resume, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Thanks, Wendy. See you next week.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
That's it for our annual update on resumes. We get so many questions. We like to stay current, but as always, Career Tools is timeless and not timely. See you next week.
Career Tools produces actionable guidance for professionals every week. To receive additional materials via our newsletter and to find products for situations you may face, go to www.managertools.com. Search for Career Tools on Twitter and LinkedIn.